Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, my beautiful babes. Welcome to another episode of Chatting with Chorley with me, Diane. And Milky, give us a noise, Milky. Beautiful. Bit of trap wind there from Milky. That sounded gorgeous. Must have been all that peanut butter he's been eating this morning. He's like a sloth, like a slow Norris over there. Just got his hand in a big old pot of Skippy. All right then, beautiful. Well, today's show is going to be a beautiful, because we've got a wonderful guest on today. But first, I've got to tell you something. I've got it off my chest. I'm hungover this morning because I got taken out last night by guess who? Yeah, Larry and Sheena Craddock from Next Door. Do you remember the other week I was telling you they built that viewing platform? And I was worried about people looking through my window whilst I was getting up to my business, my personal business. Well, turns out they couldn't get planning permission. Thank God for Nikki at number 24. She complained about them. The council came down. Well, he didn't have a building permit, did he? He had to take the bleeding thing. Oh, egg on your face, much? Bleed now. They came round this at all. I'm ever so sorry, Diane. We're going to take you down TGI Fridays. You, Ron and Milky. Okay? Are you free on Thursday? I said, yeah, we're free. We'll see you there. We get there. Larry Craddock sits there all proud. He says, listen, you lot, you have whatever you want off the menu. This one's on me. Big mistake, Larry. I tell you what. By the time Milky was on his 15 chicken Cajun, Larry Craddock was going to punch the wall. I don't know whose idea it was to put Jack Daniels on a steak, but oh my God, I had three to bring home. I've had him in a sandwich every day this week. Ooh, I get a cob from the baker's, slice it in half and put my big old Jack Daniel's steak in there and have it with some fried up onions and it's crispy as hell. What a gorgeous time to be alive. Oh, and I had a chock-a-block of glory there. Ooh, it was delicious. I lost my head in it. It was heavenly, gorgeous, ice cream, brain freeze, treat of my life. And the woman what was serving us, she was gorgeous. If you're listening, Caroline in Lakeside, I hope you got the audition for whoever it was down Boots and Laces nightclub. You look gorgeous underneath that outfit. I tell you, I don't know you managed to survive with all the badges you were carrying on the front of your bleeding shirt. Everyone was tipping her left, right and centre. She was high-kicking. Oh, she had a dancing spirit. I tell you that for nothing. We left her a big old tip. Well, Larry did. He had to. He didn't have a choice. He said we could have what we want, so I left her a little bottle of Chablis. Gorgeous it was. Oh, the nights we had. Milky sat there with his little colouring pamphlet. It was lovely. Didn't even go over the lines. And Ron, oh, he had enough Grolsch in those poppy top bottles to last him a lifetime. We had the time of our lives. And I tell you what, if they keep taking us out like that, I couldn't care less if they dig up my back garden. I'll have it. I just want to go down TGI Fridays all the time. I love it in there. It's absolutely beautiful. He said, it's much better than Frankie and Benny's. I said, you're not lying. I wouldn't even go in Frankie and Benny's. I don't like the colour scheme. Green and beige. Whose idea was that? It's not a Murray Mint. I don't like me venues to look like a Murray Mint. I do love a Murray Mint, though, occasionally. If I've got a little sore throat, I'll have a little Murray Mint. It always reminds me of going on those gorgeous long trips when you had those mints in the little tin case. You know, I can't remember what they're called, travel sweets. You can only eat them when you're travelling, though. You can't have them any other time because they'll disappear in your mouth like a little explosion. That's what happens if you put a travel sweet in your mouth when you're not travelling. They'll just explode, they'll pop. Like that. Oh, my God, can you imagine? I get out the car. I eat one in the car. Ooh, delicious. Sweet's nice. Come out of the car. They're gone. Sweet's bleeding gone. No more bleeding travel sweet. Only in the car, though. Only when you're travelling. All right, that's enough rubbish from me. Here we go. Let's introduce the first guest. Oh, my goodness me. Here we go. Woo! Well, she's a rising musical sensation, to be honest with you. Her album just came out and it's got about 101 five-star reviews across every publication. She's doing ever so well. Now, last night she was at Attitude Awards, receiving an award for Best LGBTQ Plus Artist. Yeah, and judging by her Instagram feed, she had the time of her life. So I'm delighted to welcome to the Cobcast the wonderful Rebecca Taylor, a.k.a. Self for Bleeding Steam.
I'm very upset to look this haggard and you look that beautiful.
Oh, that's sweet of you to say. Yeah, you don't look well.
No. it was the bloody Attitude Awards.
Oh yeah.
I performed and
did
then
you?
Also won an award.
What for?
It was called the Music Award.
Oh, gorgeous.
And I said I wouldn't stay at the party long, and I did get in about three.
That's all right. That ain't too bad. Did you get a little snack on the way home? A little treat?
Yeah. Do you know what? The only thing that was open was this weird hot dog place on delivery. So I had like an absolutely enormous hot dog.
Did you have a foot long?
Alone, just like got it in. Got it in, so today wasn't so painful.
Have you had any breakfast?
No, so I've only just risen. I honestly look about 101. After this...
You look gorgeous. Don't stop. Listeners, she looks like a million bleeding dollars.
I did last night. We spent a lot of money on it. And then today I'm like, ooh. But yes, as I came in here, I announced that after this, I shall be needing some sort of spicy chicken burger.
Oh, yeah, so, I like that. Favourite venue, Nando's, maybe. Gives me heartburn, but some people love it.
No, I'm not a Nando's girl. Do you know, I love that McSpicy. Not, I don't know if we can advertise.
Oh, yeah,
quite.
Go for it. Go for your life.
The McSpicy one.
This cob pass is brought to you by the McSpicy burger.
I wish it was.
All the chicken bumhole you can consume in one go. You can get it here, straight out the fryer.
How are you?
Oh, I'm bleeding gorgeous. I've had a gorgeous morning. What have I done? Absolutely nothing. You know me, I wake up, headbutt a wall, and I'm ready for the day. Just the way I roll. Probably how you feel now. That's how I feel every morning. That's just age. It gets to you. Where am I talking to you from? She looks like she's in a little white box. Is that your house?
No, this is where I stay in London when I have to do... you know, big pop star London things. So I'm in Hackney. Yeah. But I live in Margate normally.
Oh, dear. Oh, lovely. I don't mind it down there. You know, it's a little bit miserable. To be honest, you think, oh, this is nice. Then all of a sudden, some man dribbling out the side of his corner of his mouth, throwing a bit of Cornish pasty at you. And you're like, leave it, babe. I was having a nice little time there. I was in my own world. Then reality hits you. Boom.
It's hit and miss for sure. There's a lot of dog shit on the floor.
Oh,
but once
like
you
Canvey.
Navigate that. I get to live alone because I can afford to there.
Oh, yeah,
that is why I can't live with people. I want to live in London, but I can't live in London alone. So you just weigh it up, you know. And here we are.
Why can't you live with people? You're a little bit tidy or too messy?
No, I'm literally neither. I'm very normal. I'm just so socially anxious and I love to do so little small talk that living with people... I find very difficult because of all the chatting you have to do.
Yes,
yeah, happy to chat, you know, for my job. But when I get in, I'm like, just want my spicy burger in bed.
She wants a spicy burger and a little duck down duvet, having the time of her life. Gorgeous.
Hopefully, I'll become, you know, Rita Ora big, and then I can afford to live in London again. But for now, I'm doing this weird.
Rita Ora, she's on the way out, isn't she?
I don't think she'll ever go.
No, she'll never go.
Also couldn't. One song, but she's my you know, she's that's the dream.
Well, so you want to be the next Rita Ora? You're a bit edgy for that, aren't you? You're a bit too
she's
edgy.
She's just this barometer for me. I'm like, why am I me and Rita Ora is Rita Ora? I don't get it, but yeah,
I can't see Rita Ora releasing this song about social anxiety. Can you? She's having the time of her life, she wouldn't know it if it hit her in the face like a chicken burger.
Yeah.
She wouldn't care less. So you just come back off tour, haven't you? How's that been? It's ever so busy. You're looking like you're picking up nice.
It's going really well. Winning my first award last night, I thought, oh, I could get used to this. I've sort of not really been touring. I've did a load of festivals and then now I'm doing loads of promo and then we go on tour in about 10 days' time.
So you've just done the festival circuit, then you're going on a big old tour.
Mm-hmm. It's like 2 weeks of like record store touring with doing like acoustic stuff and then a month of... the big shows.
How do you find life on the road? Do you like it? You've got quite a big band that you go around with, don't you? Do you have a tour bus?
Oh, we're travel lodging it. We're even like campanelling it. Sometimes, you know what I mean? I'm really frugal. Like I refuse every penny has to make sense because I can't bear it. I'm so desperate to like make money and these just don't in this game. So yes, I have a big band, but it means I'm sort of speculating to accumulate, you know? Like my dream is to be such a big sort of venue artist that it's worth spending the cash now to make the show amazing. But yeah, we go in the splitter and we have travel lodges.
Oh, lovely. And what's your little service station? What's your service station treat? What'd you go for? Greg's? Ooh. Subway? Maybe you have a little Simply Food? Marks and Spencey? What's your choice?
I'm a big fan of the, you know, the best ever prawn sandwich they do.
Oh, yeah.
It's literally like a fiver.
Yeah, you wouldn't get me near a prawn, babe. But
no?
You go for your life.
Why not?
I've been trapped on a tour bus with someone that had the wrong prawn. And tell you something, that ain't pretty. Do you know what I mean?
The wrong prawn.
The wrong prawn.
That's what Squid Game was based on. Sorry, that's my new joke is saying, oh, it's just like Squid Game's this, having never seen Squid Game.
Yeah, it's not just you. It's the rest of society.
Oh, it's just like Squid Game's this.
Everything's like Squid Game. Yeah, we get it. It's a show. Everyone's watching it. Why is everything like bleeding Squid Game? Do you know what I mean? This is me, but Squid Game. Okay, Instagram, we get the message. This is me. This is a big plastic doll. Squid Game. This is what I look like when I've just eaten a curry. Squid Game.
I might
we
watch
get
that.
It. Bleeding internet. Have you not seen it?
No. I haven't got any time. I'm a very famous pop star now.
Of course you are. You keep saying that, babe.
Manifest.
So in the, I imagine in the, where did you grow up in the 90s, didn't you?
Yeah, I was 86. I was born
86, in Rotherham. Good year. Rotherham, beautiful. I can imagine you a little teenager in Rotherham having the time of your life. What was the pop music scene like then?
Well, I was really into like new metal and then indie. So I was very like, you know, rock and roll.
give us some bands you'd listen to when you was. Was there a little indie club in Rotherham?
There was this like weird pub that we would play gigs at. Charters Arms, it was called. There was like four boys in my year at school. I had a band that I would go and see, and they would do Weezer covers, and I'd be like, I love this one, and original songs, not so much, but the Weezer covers really popped off. I was really into new metal, so like Alien Ant Farm and Sum 41 and all that.
No
shit.
No idea. Absolutely lost on me, no. But gorgeous. Alien Ant Farm, never heard of them.
What were you into then?
What, in the 1970s?
No, when ABBA? You were a teenager, yeah.
When I was a teenager, well, that was ABBA, wasn't it?
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? That was ABBA.
Well, that's cool. ABBA
wasn't
are the best
Rebecca?
Band in the world.
Oh, should I call you Rebecca or should I call yourself? How do you like to go by?
Rebecca is what I like.
Yes. Beautiful. So you was going down the new metal clubs, having the time of your life, with a choker on. Beautiful look. Down Claire's accessories. Get anything pierced?
I never dyed my hair. I've only got my ears pierced. And I never like went there, you know. I was always...
You never had a tattoo?
No.
Oh, interesting.
I'm too worried to disappoint my mum ultimately at all times. So.
Bit indecisive as well.
Maybe, yeah, I am a Libra. Although I do think I am decisive, but it's more like I've got all this bravado and I feel all this shit, but I'm actually like very shy and timid and scared of everything.
Oh, yeah. It comes across very much in your music, doesn't it? Because you're one of these new... Well, there's nothing quite like you out there, and that's a nice thing to say. I read somewhere that you're trying to be the Trojan horse to pop and bring all these interesting issues into pop music, aren't you? Mm-hmm. That's your kind of vibe. And for people who don't know, listening at home, give us an example of music, because one of your songs was ever so big recently, and there was a little tale to tell, isn't there, weren't there? A little tale to tell.
Yeah, I do this all the time. I just wanted to make a sunscreen, but for me, because I love, that was such an important song. I think it's like so beautiful. And so, yeah, I was just pissing about, really. I was in Sheffield in the studio before I started making this record and experimenting, really. And I wanted to do just a spoken word thing. And I didn't even think it would make the album. And then, yeah, people have gone mad for it. It's amazing. I did it last night at the bloody Attitude Awards to a room full of, you know, people who weren't listening even to Elaine Page. And I thought, oh, God, I'm going to bomb here. And even that, it was like people listened. It's amazing. I love it.
Better than watch out Elaine Page.
Well, also
showgirls.
Watching Elaine Page,
Elaine Page has broken her neck. Who put those pearls there? Everyone looks at self-esteem. Her.
No way. No, she has to. Like, my manager, we were watching Elaine Page and my manager was like, oh, it's like looking into the future because she does, I look like her. And she just was like, yeah, that's hopefully what I'll be doing, you know, singing. I do this all the time in a pink ball gown.
In 25 years' time. Yeah. I reckon it could happen. Why not? Let's put our heart into it. And then I think also as well that you talk a lot about, well, mental health, didn't you? It's quite a big issue in the stuff that you write about and that you sing about in your songs. And I wonder, because you obviously now you can't be a pop star unless you live your life on the internet, essentially. Mm-hmm. You've got to keep a social media presence. And I noticed recently you get quite upset yourself, don't you, by social media. You take things sometimes quite personally when you read all those comments.
Well, you know what, yes, and I have the logic to know that this is part of it. And I get so many lovely messages and then I'll get one shit one. And I'm just getting used to that because I've fared very fucking well so far. People are nothing but lovely to me. And then it's just a numbers game. Like, the audience is growing a little bit. And so once there's more, it's flooding. There's more chance of negativity, and that's fine. There's some, like, initially I react very, I mean, I'm very hurt when they say things about my voice or my, what I look like. I'm just like, fucking Bob Dylan couldn't sing, you know what I mean? Like, fuck off. Also, I can fucking sing.
Yeah, but you can sing.
I know, but that was the thing.
You can sing, yeah.
I got really upset because there was just a load of men saying I've got no technique and stuff, and I just thought, what? Oh, it was really awful. But when they're being very misogynistic and horrible and there was a lot of, like, not all men discourse, and, you know, in a way I'm like, it's scary, but then I let them sort of in real time perfectly illustrate why I'm doing what I'm doing. And if I just sort of sit back and let them comment this mad shit, it's like, well, this is why I'm, you know, trying to make a difference for women and equality. Because look
at, do you not feel if you just let those voices whisper into the distance, they just kind of disappear a bit, don't they?
They do. And I learned my
lesson. By responding, you almost give them a platform in a way to let them, you know, let people see their stupid little things. After all, it's some man called Graham sat in a one-bedroom flat in Rotherham, probably where you come from, and he doesn't like you because of what you represent. Yeah, they're all called Graham. They're all eating a little tin of tuna fish for their breakfast. That's what they do. They've just knocked one out to God knows what, bad girls. They've just knocked one out to a VHS of bad girls. Probably over you. Yeah, just think. Big old picture of you on their 27-inch LG... Big old picture of you. They're knocking one out. Gorgeous, having the time of their life. Yeah. Then they message you on Instagram and she bleeding replies. Oh, they go back in for round two. Watch out, that picture of you on their TV screen. God, there it goes again. Oh, my God.
It's just fascinating, isn't it? I'm getting better at it. And like I said, I for the most part, it's a very beautiful, lovely place for me.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
There's something as well that you're one of these pop stars that's they call it bisexual. That's what they call it these days. And I adore it. It's a beautiful term. But tell me, what's it like being bisexual and being like a pop star? Because, you know, actually, weirdly, being bi is something that doesn't really get much representation, does it? As much as there's, you know, there's a lot of voices out there, but being bisexual, there's a lot of biphobia, isn't there? And people have a certain attitude towards being bi. So what do you feel about, do you get lots of positive feedback from people, or do you ever get experience of people being like, well, what is bi? They don't really get it.
Yes and no. Like, for the most part, it's never bothered me, and it's always just been very, I get confused by people who aren't. I get very confused by people who are straight. I just feel like you can't know that. It's not finite. But
do you reckon they should all have a little try then?
Yeah, right?
Have a little lick. Have a little nibble. See if it's down for you. Do you know what I mean? When they get to sixth form, set up a buffet, let them have a turn. Have a little try that, have a little try this. Why not?
Yeah.
Experimental. And get it in there. It's a good idea.
You don't have to be consistent. You don't have to be the same your whole life. Like, you get, like, life's really long if you're lucky, and there's just loads of stuff to do if you want. I don't know. I don't have a problem with it. I haven't come across too much. I think that there's obviously, in the queer community, bisexual is the one that gets a bit of shit. But it is what it is, isn't it? Like, it's all lived experience. Like, if you can't understand something, that people find that negative, you know, they have negative feelings towards what they can't understand. And that's fine. I just let it roll. My main MO is, like, girls saying to me, like, oh, it's a girl crush. I've got such a girl crush on you. Like, that term has sort of ruined my brain over my life. Because to me, it just never, you don't need to preface it with that, with this, like, it's not real because it's othered.
A fantasy almost.
Yeah, and I'm all, like, it's just a crush. Like, that's my point. But I'm also, like, not saying this so, like, more women want to sleep with me officially. I don't mind if you don't want to sleep with me, but you do find me attractive and you're a straight woman. I just think everyone's got to, like, let the boundaries go a bit more, and we'd all be a bit happier if we just were not so full of shame.
You weren't brought up as a Catholic or nothing? You didn't have any religious...
No, pretty Christian, really. My grandparents were a massive part of my life, and I did a lot of the church shit, but it also that's still, like, my parents are sort of... There wasn't a very, like, right and wrong feeling about the religious side of our family. Like, so I think about this a lot. Like, I left school and went into being in a band, and have just, my life has been, I've had jobs, but for the most part, I've been an artist full time. So I guess it is very easy for me to sit here and be like, it was never a big deal for me to just shag women as well as men. Like, I don't know what the big problem is. And then it's not always that easy. I've had a weird life in which there aren't many, like, societal norms, whereas I get it if you go to, like, you know, uni and then the job and all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, I've had it easy.
And do you think the music industry has changed for you in the different stages you've had in your career? So when you was, compared to when you was younger and now, how's the industry changed towards you as you've started to kind of be more outspoken?
I mean, it's like I was living in a different sort of setting or something. Like, I was in a band for a decade, indie band, you know, all men, all, no other women were involved, and everyone was a lovely person and no one was a shit, but it just, the inherent sort of misogyny of just no other women being involved was really hard. And then also, the main difference is I used to think, shut up, get on with it, don't be any trouble. And whereas now it's like, communicate what you need and be brave enough to handle it if people want to call you difficult. Because, I mean, I'm not difficult, but it's more like, I mean, so I'm not being very eloquent here, but, like, I'm putting it into practice in my life, which is, like, I was brought up and lived, like, please don't be mad with me. Make sure you don't draw attention to yourself. Make sure you're not any trouble. Make sure you don't rock the boat, ever. That's like a sort of women, that's what you're taught as a woman to be. That I, you know, and it spilled over into my career and music, and it, you know, it really inhibited my creativity, and my art suffered for so long for it. And now the only difference is that I don't think the industry's really changed much. I think I'd still be having the shit laugh I was always having, but the difference is now I'm managed by women. My band is, like, people who love me. My label sort of go with me on stuff. Like, I've just changed the team and
the narrative.
Yeah.
You change your own narrative as well.
Well, yeah. And it's about being brave. I've realised, like, it isn't going to change. It's still always going to be a shitty, scary place for me. But the difference is all that, what I've changed is how my, you know, got thicker skin. I'm brave enough to go to face it. If you want to say that I'm being difficult, like that used to be like, oh my God, don't think I'm difficult. Whereas now it's just a sort of cool. You know, you can think that. I know I'm not being. I'm just being respectful to myself and not sleeping on a floor under my coat in Paris. You know.
Do you call that out? Do you not say, well, that's, you know, it's like someone telling you you're dramatic. Oh, stop being so dramatic. It's like, well, no, I'm not being dramatic. I'm just saying what I feel.
Exactly. I mean, society makes you big feeling people are crazy or...
silenced.
Yeah. And I can't understand that because I think the majority, like, if, even that, I do this all the time, my song, people going, thank you so much for saying that. I feel like that too. And I think your Instagram intimidates me. You're bluffing your way through life and then in the DMs telling me that you feel all these things I'm saying. It's like, so the setting, base level setting of most humans is to feel stuff and all, and society's made you go, just don't. And then loads of people are really good at it. And some people like me are fucking terrible at it. And then you end up having quite a difficult life from it. And I mean,
but also, in a sense, you give off a persona as well, don't you? Because you're out there giving it large, and then you like, you know, retreating in your cosy place with a chicken burger.
I'm quite transparent about both sides of myself, I think.
No, I think you very much so. No, that I think that's what's nice, though. You know, is that we don't see that from most people.
Yes,
and it's a tricky world. Because some people feel it's a vulnerable thing to let their, you know, and you say about that all the time in your music, and that's absolutely gorgeous. But did you write for that other band that you was in? Was you a writer?
Yeah. So it's two of us wrote all the stuff. So it's a lot of, we would sort of co-write everything, and then it slowly got more and more that we just each wrote our own songs. And I'm really proud of it. Like, I made like 5 records, toured the world. I still like, I think I will make like a sort of soul, northern soul-y kind of torch song record again one day. It's not that I couldn't fuck with that genre, but if I found it a very like I would have all these ideas that couldn't go there, and I had such a fear of putting them anywhere else, so they were just sort of sat, and that just made me very resentful and very fucking constipated creatively, and my mental health was fucking done. In my life, every day was pretty bad in my brain, and now it's like someone's like the most enormous like sailor's rope knot has like come undone in my tummy, because I just get to create what I want to, and it's like solved quite a lot of problems. So yeah. Wish I could, like,
and I imagine it's probably resolved a lot of problems from other people hearing someone say it out loud as well. You know, I think that's a beautiful thing. And do you, with your music, what comes first? Does the issue or the concept comes first? You're like, oh, I really want to write a song about this, or is it, do you start with the melodies and the ideas, and how does it work as a songwriter?
Always different. Like often I'll be like, okay, I want to write a song about this. Like, yeah, I have a sort of agenda that a remit I'll give myself to stay in. Or sometimes it's just a melody that's like not left my head. Sometimes it's just one line I've written and that will create the whole thing. Sometimes like me and my producer will make something in the studio, and then I'll out of nowhere write it all really quickly. But I'm quite, I used to think I'll have to sit and labour over with a guitar structures and do 9-to-5 songwriting like Neil Young, and that was again like very not very productive for me. So now I just let it sort of come. I mean, it's a bit of a wanky way to say it, but it does just sometimes just, you have to like go for it in the moment.
Yeah.
And then there's a lot of times where it doesn't come and I just eat burgers and watch the telly and we have to wait.
Well, this sounds gorgeous. So what have we got next? I mean, you've got a book coming out soon.
Yeah, so we're releasing... I do these iPhone notes that I post. So that was like one of the first creative sort of outlets I had, was I would just... I think they're poems, but like, we could debate that. So I've been posting them...
I wouldn't bother debating it with me. I wouldn't know a poem if it hit me in the face.
So about 2015, I started doing that. So this publisher was like, we should release them all chronologically. And I was sort of like, yeah, cool, and we'll do it in we're going to make it like iPhone shaped, the book, so it's like a little piece of art as well. And the editor compiled them all and then was like, we just need you to go through because we need to cut a few. And I was like, yeah. And I put it off for honestly months and was like, I really want to do this, but the idea of going through my brain from 2016 onwards is horrible. It was horrible, but I did it and now it's coming out.
Oh, good. We'll look forward to it.
A bit of a time stamp.
And the album's doing ever so well. We're ever so pleased for you. And do you know what, my gorgeous babe? I think I'm going to say goodbye to you. Thank you for coming. I know you're hungover and you're not feeling very well. So thank you for coming on and doing it. You're gorgeous.
I would do anything. It's been lovely.
Oh, stop it. And then Milky is sat over there. You can't see him. He's in the corner with a big old Munch Bunch yogurt, chopping away at it. And he's got his fruit shoot. He's having the time of his life.
Ooh.
We're going to write a little song for you and we're going to sing it based on this gorgeous interview. Have a gorgeous day, my beautiful babe.
Thank you. You too.
Get bailed. Have a Red Bull. See you in a bit. Bye.
Ta-da.
So here's a little song for self-esteem. Looking out over a music world and you ain't happy with the way it seems. And nobody listens to doing the thing, but you gotta break the way it seems. If you wanna do things yourself, you gotta do it in your own time, baby. And if you wanna change the world, you gotta do it in your own time, baby. Looking out over a world where nobody says what they feel. Everything, every image you see, it ain't nothing and nothing feels real. So, you don't feel like it talks to you, they don't believe the lies. Say what's laying in your heart and you gotta big people shine. Cause if you wanna change the world, then you got it in your own time, baby. And if you wanna change the world, you gotta do it in your own time, girl. And if you wanna change the world, you gotta do it in your own time, baby. And if you wanna change the world, you gotta do it in your own time, girl. We're here, we're here. They say when you sing your songs, we hear, yes we hear, and the love comes on. Cause if you wanna change the world, you gotta do it in your own time, girl. And if you wanna change the world, you gotta do it in your own time, girl. What a beautiful time to sing in your own voice, babes. What a beautiful time to sing it in your own voice. Cause they wanna hear, yeah we wanna hear, yeah we wanna hear that, yeah. And if you wanna change the world, you gotta do it in your own time, girl. Thank you to my beautiful guest, Self-Esteem. And thank you to my beautiful Milky for fiddling with the guitar, you see. And thank you to my beautiful producer, Chrissy Chris Jones. And this has been a Hat Trick podcast. Go buy a bone. A big thank you to the assistant producer Diggory Waite. This has been a Hat Trick podcast, so go and eat a paperweight. Goodbye. If you're gonna change the world, you're gonna do it in your own time, girl. And if you wanna change the world, you gotta do it in your own time, girl. And if you wanna change the world, you gotta do it in your own time, babes. And if you wanna change the world, you gotta do it in your own time, girl.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.